You might recall from last week that it is sometimes called the Sunday of Refreshment, where we heard of our Lord's feeding of the 5,000. That Sunday served as a brief oasis for us on our Lenten journey towards the cross and towards the Easter resurrection. Today we return and we join back into the hardest part of the journey. We begin what is called Passiontide. And Christ gives us a hard lesson. He tells us that we should gladly hear his word. And if we do, we are of God. But whoever does not hear God's word, whoever does not listen to the word and take it to heart, is not of God. Now that would seem to be a simple lesson. Simply hear God's word and you are of God. And yet so few truly hear God's word and heed it. Christ is speaking of a very important matter. Think of his disciples as they approach Holy Week, just as we do. Peter talks to Jesus. Jesus predicts his passion, his death, his burial, his resurrection. And Peter says, "Far be it from you, Lord." Tries to tell Christ that there is another way, which of course there is not. Fails to hear God's word. And then when Jesus tells him that he will deny him, indeed all the disciples will forsake him, Peter again does not listen to Christ's word. He says, "Oh, surely, Lord, I will not." But Christ says, "After the cock crows twice, you will deny me three times." Before the cock crows three times. Well, Peter does come to realize that God's word is true, doesn't he? There on Good Friday. You see, it is an important matter to hear God's word and to take it to heart, to heed it. For God's word provides for you your fate. What is in store for you on the last day? The eternal verdict is declared in God's word. Some would hear God's word and then quickly cast it aside. And when they do, the next step is to then not only forsake God's word, but to further transgress against it, to commit sin that is contrary to what God has said. And then living in sin, the next step is to become so hardened to what God would have them to say that they forsake him entirely. They blaspheme him, become of their father, the father of lies. In today's gospel, we come in at the end of such a journey with these unnamed Jews. They have at first listened to his word, but then cast it aside. Then they had resorted to calling him names, a Galilean and now a Samaritan. But finally, they will blaspheme the very word of God by desiring to kill him, to throw stones at him. We're catching them at the end of their hardening journey. They do not hear God's word any longer. They are of their father, the father of this world. They're not simply just annoyed at Jesus anymore, nor are they resorting to just calling him names, but they have even blasphemed God, and they seek to murder him. So they are not of God, but of the devil. There is a lesson to be learned here, for us, indeed for the whole world. That to fall into error begins by stopping the ears, by placing one's fingers in one's ears and stop not listening, stopping up your ears from God's word. Then, not heeding God's word, you fall into the kind of sin that God's word would heed you against, would warn you from committing. And finally, your life would become one of blasphemy, utter rejection of what God has said. Even cursing God in the end and seeking to murder him. Now, you might think this is a pretty harsh lesson, and it indeed is. But we know that this is true. All of us who are parents, and I would expect even those of us who are children, which of course is all of us, know that this is the natural progression of things, the progression of things for sinners. Consider your children. First, they refuse to listen. And if you don't discipline them, if you don't admonish them to do what is right, what became as at first simply an act of disobedience then escalates, a thought of disobedience or even a word of disobedience escalates into acts of disobedience. They become further and further disobedient. And you know that this changes their character. If you never apply God's word to them, to tell them what they ought to do, namely the fourth commandment, that they should honor their father and their mother, to listen to them, to do what they say. God attached a promise to that, that it would go well with you on earth. Well, it gets worse. Those children become spoiled. And then spoiled children often get even worse. Become like these Jews who seek not just the thought of sin, not just small trifling acts of theft or hatred, but become thieves, murderers, adulterers. We see this progression throughout the world. We even see it in our home. And the problem in this world, the problem in our homes, is that God's word has not been heard, has not been listened to and heeded. God's word speaks in the midst of disobedience and calls to repentance. God does not desire anyone to be deaf to him, to not listen to his word, to use that as an excuse to cover up sin. He does not want any wicked to die. He desires that they would hear his word and live, that they would be redeemed from their father, the father of lies, and instead become children of him, children of God. But it is true that God's word, when it is not spoken, or when it is spoken and it is not listened to, falls by the wayside, falls on rocky or hard soil, and doesn't take root. And what began as a disobedient child becomes a hardened heart to God's word. I just recall a commercial that I saw recently. There's a whole series of them. But the child of the father does something. It's a young girl. I don't remember what she does at the beginning of the commercial. But then the commercial progresses, and at the end, the daughter has piercings and tattoos. She has an illegitimate child who also is wearing leather. And this is what happens if he had not, I think, gotten DirecTV or something at the beginning. But there is a truth to that commercial, that had he provided what the child truly needed at the beginning, where she ended up might have been avoided. You see, everyone is made in the image of God, much like Adam and Eve, to walk in the garden, to listen to his word, to dwell with him, to follow his commands. But every one of us, also like Adam and Eve, have not heard God's word as we ought. When God said to them, "Do not eat of the tree in the midst of the garden," and they did, they listened to the lie of Satan and became his children. But that wasn't enough for God. He does not desire to see the death of the wicked, and he promised redemption for them. And they lived in that promise, knowing that Jesus would come to redeem them, the offspring of the woman, to crush the serpent's head, to make them of God again. What does it mean to be a child of God again, then? How does one live as a child of God? How does one live hearing God's word? To be of God is to use one's gifts and talents for God's service. namely to use one's ears to hear God's word, to listen to it, to take it to heart, to use your tongue to speak God's name in every time of trouble, to pray, to teach the faith, to comfort those who are in sorrow or grief, to reprimand those who are in error, and to use one's heart to show concern for the neighbor, to care for them and their every need. We use our eyes and our ears and our tongue and our heart, guided by God's word, to be of God, to be his hands and his feet in this world. We even use these gifts that God has given us to confess his word that we are sinners. We confess that we have done wrong, and that is to be of God, to declare what God has said of us, to ask for his mercy. And when God's word has its way with us in this way, we are of God, and the father of lies is cast out again. Jesus is then giving us a stern word of warning that there is a consequence for rejecting God's word, even in part, even initially just a small transgression. Those things can become blasphemy and even violence, like the Jews of our text, children of the devil. He's warning us not to be deaf to his word, to fail to heed what he has to say for us, and thus blaspheme him, and perhaps even seek to harden our heart utterly to him. Instead, we are to be of God, which is to be of his righteousness, of his life, of his word, of Jesus. To be of the gospel promise that Jesus has died for us. To think that we can merit heaven, that we can earn it through good reputation, by being prosperous in this world, by working hard, by all of our accomplishments as parents, perhaps, or as a worker. Those are all lies. Satan would have you think that to be of God is to have a Protestant work ethic. It is true that God commands you to work, to be fruitful, but that does not merit you eternal life. For you have never been as fruitful as God commanded. You have fallen short of what he would have you do in everything. Repent. Turn back to God and live. Turn back to him for forgiveness, for hope, for life, for true righteousness. That's what his word does. That is the benefit of his word when it is heard, listened to gladly. That you are not then of the devil, but of God. Sin can't harm you when you are of God, when you heed his word. Nor is there any fear of judgment. For God declares to you that you are forgiven in the blood of Christ, the Lamb, the sacrificial Lamb who took the place of Isaac and who takes your place. So also we learn that there is no comfort apart from God's word. Some would find comfort in a warm bed. Others would find comfort in the pleasures of this life. But the only true comfort in this life, God's word tells us, is in the graciousness of your heavenly Father and the way that he provides for you according to his wisdom, namely giving his very Son, his only Son, for you. And this word of gospel promise, of good news for you, the sinner, is the word that defeats all your enemies, destroys sin in you by the forgiveness of sins. It defeats the devil by the truth, destroying his lies. And it brings to you the forsaking the things of this world and instead storing up for yourself treasures of heaven, life and righteousness in Christ. All your foes are defeated in this word. But do not fail to heed it. Listen to it gladly. Study it as you are able. Receive it. For it is God's gracious good will that you would be of Him. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.